welcome to Currently Kirkland. I'm Pam Jardine. In this episode, we share how volunteers are increasing Kirkland's green factor, how a unique program teaches teens valuable lessons, and how you can be safe this Halloween. The city of Kirkland has close to 500 acres of forested and natural areas in our city parks that make neighborhoods more healthy and attractive. These ecological expanses enhance our water, air, and land. And to help preserve these areas, a unique partnership was formed, the Green Kirkland Partnership. The partnership is a collaborative effort between the City of Kirkland, Forterra, other nonprofits, and an engaged community of volunteers who help to create a living legacy for the future of a healthy city. One person working towards that goal is Kirkland Green Steward Jody Galvan.
I've been interested in nature and the environment since I can remember, since I was little, and my passion has always been around wildlife biology and wildlife habitat restoration. And so now living in the city and being in the city, I think it's really important to take care of our urban wildlife habitat and keep that in as good of condition as it can be in. And then the best is to see people, families, community members out enjoying those spaces and connecting with nature. I think it's really important for people that live in neighborhoods and cities to be able to have a little time in a natural area and get a chance to reconnect with trees and the soil and our fish and wildlife species that are native to this area and just have some peaceful time in nature.
In 2014, volunteers dedicated over 8,900 hours to 250 events, which has made a lasting impact to Kirkland's forest health. You can join the partnership and participate one time, multiple times, or over time. Either way, you'll have a great sense of accomplishment.
Behind me, you can see very thick Himalayan blackberry that's growing, and I think it's really important to point out that having those thick, dense, in this case thorny, invasive weeds are part of what make our forested natural areas less inviting for people to be out and to enjoy. Whereas here, where I'm standing, you can see that the area has been cleared of the blackberry and that we have a lot friendlier native plants growing. And you can just see that this particular site is much more open. It's much more inviting. You can see around you. This is something that's also an important safety feature for people to be able to feel like they have some knowledge about what's happening in their environment around them. And so if I had volunteers here, we would continue to remove the really thick, dense, invasive Himalayan blackberry that's growing and preventing our native plants from being able to thrive in this area. We would likely put mulch, woody mulch, around the native plants that we have planted in the cleared area. That's going to help them retain moisture and reduce weeds from regrowing. And so if you were to come back here in 3 or 4 years, you would see these trees being a lot bigger. You would see, depending on the time of year, some beautiful, dainty little wildflowers growing on the ground, and you would see nice native shrubs that are bearing edible fruits.
Those looking to make a greater commitment can become green stewards. These super volunteers plan restoration events and educate members of the community. Katie Cava, Kirkland Green Partnership Program Assistant, explains more.
A lot of the work that we do on the ground is based on a steward model, and so the way our program works is that we have 3.5 permanent staff, and we support 26 active stewards, and what that allows us to do is multiply the amount of work we can do on the ground. And so last year, 90% of our volunteer events were led by stewards. We use trained volunteers and give them ongoing training, and so that's another thing that I do is give them training on plant ID and best management practices, and then fun things like ethnobotany, and make sure that we are all on the same page, we being city staff and the volunteers and the stewards, on what we're going to do in a park. So I think it's really important. And I think that when it's done well, it makes our program more successful because our stewards feel really supported and empowered and they know what they're doing. And also we as staff are often congratulating them on how far they've gotten. Because they're often just looking at the next patch of blackberry or ivy to get out of the park, and they're not kind of looking backwards at all the work that they've already done. So a lot of what we do is just tell them how awesome they are.
Becoming a steward requires dedication and a certain set of skills.
You need to be really committed and dedicated to your particular park. it's important because the city will invest a lot of resources in the stewards and training them and making sure that they have all the supplies and tools that they need to be able to lead volunteer events successfully. So it's really, it's something that ideally you've got a person who is going to be staying in that geography for a while, is going to be committed to that particular park site and excited to learn more about restoration techniques, really engaging and happy to work with a broad range of people, young people, old people, people that have never volunteered doing something like this before. So you really need to be open and engaging and excited to learn and committed to your park.
We want our stewards to be passionate about something. So sometimes our stewards are really passionate about building community. And so hosting restoration events are a way that they can bring to get people together in their neighborhood and have them volunteer in a park and they can build community. Other times our stewards are really passionate about building wildlife habitat. And so they can come into a park and do restoration events, and that's a way to increase the habitat value in a park. What I think makes a good steward is that they're passionate about something and they see urban habitat restoration as a way to accomplish that goal, but the same thing doesn't bring all the stewards to the program. So I think that makes us a stronger program because stewards are excited about different things.
Looking at the bigger picture, the city created a plan to envision what the natural areas should look like by the year 2035.
In 2008, City Council approved our first forest and natural areas restoration plan. And that is essentially a high-level plan that guides our program. So it doesn't get down to the specifics, like in Crestwoods Park, we're going to remove ivy here and plant Douglas fir trees here, but it guides how we need to grow as a program. So in 5 years, this is where acreage enrolled needs to be. This is how many volunteer hours we need. This is how much funding we need. And it projects that out to 20 years, with the goal being that we would have our over 300 acres in restoration at the end of the 20 years. Well, in 2012, the city of Kirkland annexed the northern neighborhoods. And so we grew as a city, not only in population, but also in acreage. And so we are in the process and almost done updating our 20-year forest and natural area restoration plan so that we are kind of resetting the clock. So we're starting at 0 years and going out another 20 with the goal of restoring the acreage we had plus the 115 acres we added into our natural area portfolio.
Getting involved is easy and fun. Even dedicating a few hours can make a positive impact.
I would say just give it a try. Just come out to a volunteer event. Pick one that's not a really long event. A lot of us have events that are only 1 or 2 hours long, which is a great way to just give it a try. Come out in the winter and plant a tree, plant some native shrubs with us, and then come back in the spring and see your little native plants and trees growing. It's really exciting, it's really motivating, and I would be surprised if it didn't inspire you to get out there and try it again.
To get involved with the Green Kirkland Partnership, go to greenkirkland.org. The Green Kirkland Partnership is one of many volunteer opportunities offered by the city. You can visit the city's volunteer webpage at kirklandwa.gov/volunteers for more information. Or better yet, attend the Viva Volunteers Fair, where you can talk with representatives from agencies who have volunteer programs in health, education, arts, public safety, animals, housing, and more. The event will be held on October 24th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Peter Kirk Community Center. Most people don't enjoy receiving a traffic ticket. For those who are in high school, the experience can be even more upsetting. Through a unique program called Teen Traffic Court, Kirkland youth who are ticketed in Kirkland with a moving violation can plead their case, not to a judge, but to a jury of their peers.
Teen Traffic Court is an opportunity for teens who have committed a moving violation in the Kirkland Municipal Court's jurisdiction for them to come to court and have an opportunity to kind of explain their side of the story and explain it to a panel of peers. And I mean, they admit that they committed the violation, and it gives them a chance to learn from their mistakes without it going on the record. And I think that's a huge part of why we started Teen Traffic Court, is because driving, especially for teens when we're just starting off, is a learning process. And so if you mess up, we thought it was important for them to have an outlet in which they could learn and not just feel the full brunt of the law.
Student respondents are able to schedule a date and time for their appearance at the Kirkland Municipal Court. When their court date arrives, respondents are able to tell their story in hopes of receiving a reduced fine.
And I got really confused, so I ended up having to turn, I think, right, and I was continuing on a different road, and it looked, because I've never been in that area before, so it looked identical to the 40-mile-per-hour road, and then my GPS started, like, acting weird, and I was looking at it, and I wasn't paying attention to the speed limit. I thought it was 40 because the road looked the same, so I was going 40 miles per hour, and that's when the police caught me.
The peer jury is able to ask questions of the respondent before leaving the courtroom to discuss the case. Looking over the evidence, the entire jury, which can be as many as 9 members, must agree on a proper consequence. This can sometimes be a challenge, and jury members must provide an unbiased conclusion.
One thing that they did drill into you in driver's ed, you assume it's 25 miles per hour, especially in a residential area, but you can't assume that it's 40 miles per hour, especially if there might be kids going around and there's people at risk.
The jury has a number of options it can impose. They can reduce the ticket cost, assign community service hours, or a combination of both. They want to make sure that the respondents learn a lesson, but also that the costs don't create an undue hardship for busy and financially strapped students.
So we have decided to reduce your ticket to $50 and 14 hours of community service. Just some words of advice. We recognize that you were disoriented in this situation, but part of driving is being aware of your surroundings and making sure that you know where you are, what the speed limit is.
As long as the respondents follow through, the ticket will be removed from their permanent driving record. Although stressful, often respondents are grateful for the decision handed down.
I think it's really nice. It teaches kids good judgment skills. I think that's really important, and it allows them to see other people's mistakes, and also I assume that these people have like learned not to do certain speeding and stuff like that from just watching our cases and stuff.
Teen Traffic Court not only teaches those who violate traffic law valuable lessons, it also teaches those who volunteer about being a jury member or even becoming a judge.
That's what we do here. We help people improve from their mistakes and learn lessons. I've been doing this. This is my third year. I've done 2 other full years as a traffic court juror, and I've seen anything from just tickets to car accidents. I decided to do this because I thought it was a really, really interesting way of seeing how everything here in Kirkland works, and I thought by the time I'm driving, I want to know how, if I get into some sort of accident or a ticket, how I can make up for that.
The court volunteers are made up of dedicated members of the Kirkland Youth Council.
I decided to get involved in Youth Council because I wanted to have an opportunity to give back to the community. I saw a lot of things that I wanted to take a part in, and I didn't necessarily know how. And actually, my neighbor recommended the council to me, and I felt like this was a great way to get involved in the community, meet people that I wouldn't normally have a chance to meet on a regular basis, and serve the community and feel a sense of involvement, like you're making a change and you're making a difference in the community.
To learn more about Youth Council or Teen Traffic Court, visit kirklandwa.gov/youth. Halloween is coming up soon, and although it's filled with fun and treats, we wanted to remind children and adults to be safe. Kirkland Police Department's Neighborhood Resource Officer Audra Weber has these great tips.
Hi, I'm Officer Audra Weber with Kirkland Police Department, and here are some tips for the Halloween holiday season. Proper crosswalk procedure is first when you approach the intersection, any child under the age of 12 should be accompanied by an adult, and as you get to the crosswalk, look both directions and make sure that all vehicles have come to a complete stop and you've made eye contact with the drivers before entering the intersection. One of the best practical safety tips would be make sure that you have proper reflective, either could be these great glow sticks, reflective aerosol spray, proper lights, reflective tape, and just any sort of attire on there that can be seen by the public. Carry flashlights is also a great idea. One of the biggest things that we see are costumes that kids wear where they cannot see, such as this Angry Birds here. I'm not sure if you noticed, but the eye holes are these tiny little dots right here, and I don't even think I could see that as an adult, let alone a kid. My vision would be greatly obstructed. So a good alternative to that is the face paint and the face makeup, or as was suggested here at the Halloween store, possibly foregoing any sort of face or costume or makeup and just doing something with the hair or hats. One of the first things that I would do when your kids come home is to check all the candy that they've got, their loot, so to speak, and make sure that it's all closed packaging and the original packaging that came from the manufacturer, not homemade goodies.
These tips are not just for trick-or-treaters. Drivers should be equally as cautious.
Drivers on Halloween, first thing you need to do is you need to slow down. Particularly when you're in neighborhood residential areas, slow down and be aware that there are a lot more children out and about than there normally is, and that they are going to be in low lighted areas and could dart out from different driveways and homes.
This year, daylight savings time ends the day after Halloween. Be sure to set your clocks back 1 hour and be cautious while driving.
With daylight savings time approaching, drivers and pedestrians need to keep in mind that they need to slow down, they need to be alert and not distracted while they're driving, cell phones and messing around with different things in the vehicle, and be aware that vision is hard during the twilight hours. Thank you for listening to our safety tips, and hopefully you'll have a safe and happy Halloween. Woo! High fives!
We're happy that you decided to take some time to watch this episode and learn more about your city. Currently, Kirkland can be in the palm of your hand. Subscribe to Kirkland Television on YouTube. We air on KGov and KLife. Send us your news tips, story ideas, and suggestions to KirklandTV@kirklandwa.gov.